Welcome back to You're Always Fine, a space to show up for yourself and embrace the mess that lives underneath, because let's be real, it's exhausting always being fine. So grab your headphones and allow yourself to listen, laugh, and even cry, because you are not alone and we aren't always fine. And that's okay.
Major depressive disorder affects approximately 17.3 million American adults in a given year. So why is it still so misunderstood and stigmatized? Well, today we are diving into this complex condition in hopes of creating a small dent in starting the conversation. I'm your host, Christine.
And I'm Teresa, so let's freaking get into it.
Okay, Titi, can you tell me what you found when you looked up the definition of depression, just so we can ground us?
Yes. So according to the NIMH, depression, also known as major depressive disorder, is a mental health condition characterized by persistent feelings of sadness, hopelessness, and a loss of interest in activities you once enjoyed. It's more than just feeling down for a day or two. It can last for weeks, months, or even years if left untreated. The causes of depression are complex and can involve a combination of genetic, biological, environmental, and psychological factors. Things like traumatic life events, chronic stress, certain medications, and underlying medical conditions can all contribute to the development of depression.
Okay, so when you think of depression, TT, what is like the first few things that like come to your mind?
I would say someone that has a really hard time getting out of bed, someone that is overall not very happy, and honestly, someone that has their life kind of consumed by their own thoughts. That's what I would think.
So that's kind of exactly what kind of sparked me to want to have this episode, was because a few nights ago, I was in my hot tub and I was just sitting there and I realized like, oh my gosh, like I'm in a pretty dark place right now. And for me, depression doesn't look like not being able to get out of bed or consumed by thoughts, I feel like is not fair to even say because I'm always consumed by my thoughts. So I'm going to leave that one out. But a lot of the stereotypical things that are listed in depression aren't for me. Like I can still put on a pretty happy face. I can pretty much make it through my day. I find that maybe my perfectionism turns up a little bit. What I really notice is this vast amount of like emptiness. Not like unemotional, but not emotional, but just like, you know, it seems like there's an ocean of empty inside me. And that's when I'm usually like, oh no, I'm not in a really good place. But that took me a really long time to realize what depression looked like for me. Because when you start thinking about, oh, am I happy or I'm not happy? Or is it hopelessness or sadness? Those can feel kind of like easy to either mitigate or make an excuse for them like off. And I find that it's so important to understand that there's different types of depression, there's different onsets, and then everyone experiences depression slightly different. And I think that society has kind of made it seem like we have control over this sadness or the way that we've framed it, right? Like, oh, can't get out of bed, right? I think both of us know through different avenues about not being able to get out of bed or being so sick, not being able to get out of bed. And I know for me, I could not accept that it was depression as opposed, because it felt like it was directly invalidating that I was like what my body was feeling like. But then I started to realize like it's not the chicken or the egg kind of thing. It all combined. At some point, it does become like I'm just depressed because I'm so sick and I can't get out of bed, not so much that my flare up is still bad. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think for me, it's also very hard to have an idea of what depression is when you don't struggle with it yourself. So I never have. I've been in like, I would say ruts and stuff like that, but that's like typical things. I think that you would go in ups and downs. I've never actually struggled with depression. So I think it's also really hard for people like me to understand all the nuances in depression because I've seen very bad depression in, you know, family members and things like that. And then I've also seen the other side of it where I feel like depression can get manipulated. So that's also difficult for someone that never really deals with depression because it's hard to recognize it and recognize which one is actually a reality for someone that they're dealing with, or if it's being cherry picked for someone to use, if that makes sense.
No, for sure. Two things. One, when you were talking about that, it made me think of when we first met, you really struggled to understand like my flare ups. Mm-hmm. You're like, just text me back. And I'm like, it's just not that easy. And I will never forget the like time you went live and you like basically gave me like 3 years later this like apology because like you were just going through like some of your own stuff and you realized it from a different perspective. But I feel like that's kind of what you're talking about with depression. Like how it's really hard to like put yourself in something that you just seems unfathomable, like, you know, or like seems truly like you can't imagine it.
Well, yeah, because there is varying degrees. Like you said, there's degrees like I can't get up. I can't get out of bed. Pretty severe. But then there's also, like you said, you can function, you can move, but you have that feeling of emptiness. And that's not necessarily as obvious. It makes me think of Robin Williams, right? Was so happy comedian. And then all of a sudden, everyone's like, what the heck happened? No.
Exactly. I feel like this can be a very, very silent battle. Mm-hmm. And also because some of the stigmatization that we have, right, around, you know, essentially like, oh, it's something that you can help just get out of bed, just like see some sunlight. And it's not that easy. And I think the harder part is not realizing it, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know. For me, it's one thing when I start to realize it, then I feel like I can start to do something about it.
Right.
But, you know, the process of getting there, I don't always know if I like notice or, you know, you never think it's like that bad or
until it is.
Yeah, this isn't depression. You know, this is just I'm upset because of X, Y, and Z. And that for me, I think is the scariest part is not realizing that you're getting to that place. Like you said, there's mild all the way to severe, like depression. And I think there's also, and we do this with a lot of things, I think our generation, and I think just with so much consumption and stuff, does this thing where it's like a depressive thought. Mm-hmm. Can get misconstrued or minimized as like, oh, this is just, I think I've seen it go both ways where it's like people will underestimate or exaggerate, you know, like, oh, that's my OCD. And it's like, well, your OCD is more than just like organizing your fridge, you know?
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say. I also do feel with social media and TikTok and all that, I do feel like mental health issues, and this is going to sound so bad and I don't want to make anyone mad, but sometimes they're getting to be a trend where people will just, off the cuff be like, oh yeah, like you said, I have OCD. And it's like, that's actually a real thing. So, and like you very well might have it, but you can't just classify it. You know what I mean? It just seems like it's a like bandwagon behavior, right now.
Yes, exactly. One behavior isn't encompassing of it. And while I think that the awareness and the exposure is obviously overall good for the most part, but there is a lot of serious dangers. One, I mean, knowing your root cause is so important when you're trying to get treatment and stuff. And so it's really important that you're not just diagnosing yourself and you're also not, you know, to your point, it's a complicated issue, right? Yeah. I think we're seeing that with ADHD a lot, where it's so many adults right now going for ADHD that there's a lot of serious consequences. People aren't able to get their medicine. Doctors are now really hesitant on prescribing medicine, right? Because of, I think, this new exposure that social media has brought, like I said. So I think it's, you know, it is a good thing. I think it does bring awareness, but I think we have to be careful when we're consuming these things that are already, in my opinion, as a clinician for 15 years, super hard to diagnose. Like diagnosing is one of my least favorite parts of my job because, you know, there are just so many factors that can attribute to it. And you're seeing a snippet of something and you're trying to get it right. And you're trying to find the root cause to get a treatment, to give this person some relief. But I mean, just in depression, right? There's major depression. There's persistent depressive disorder. There's seasonal affect disorder. There's postpartum depression, like, right? Mm-hmm. And all of them have like their own set of, you know, symptoms. One of the major things about, you know, depression is, you know, lasting more than 2 weeks, but less than 6 months, right? Because otherwise it's considered chronic. And I think, you know, oddly enough, my disease has opened me up to the, like, being open about depression, if that makes sense, or being able to talk about it in a way that doesn't feel like it, I guess, threatening to who I am.
Right.
But if you look at like some of the other symptoms, lack of energy, fatigue, difficulty concentrating, I feel like that's everything that comes
I have all of those things.
Right, on a normal day for me.
And I'm not, that's not something I struggle with. So it is, it's hard. It depends on your circumstances. It depends on prior traumas, your experiences. There's a lot that goes into it. And you do want to get diagnosed correctly because, you know, for example, like you just listed off fatigue, lack of concentration. And what was the other one?
Difficulty concentrating.
Okay. So all three of those things right there, right?
Lack of energy. That's what I said.
Lack of energy. I have all three of those. And I know that I have all three of those because of vitamin and mineral deficiencies and stuff like that, right? But if you, and this is what I mean about like social media and consuming so much, if you know, you see all that and then you have a bad day one day or whatever, and you don't want to get diagnosed with something you don't actually have. If you don't want to get diagnosed with depression, get put on something, and then in reality, you just have like a mineral deficiency or whatever. So I do think knowing the nuances and stuff like that is super important for not only the people that are trying to seek help and figure out what is going on with them, but also the people that are diagnosing them.
Yeah. And, you know, I think too, like we saw in COVID, right, this like increased like loneliness mm-hmm. and this, you know, realization that I think so much of our our worlds were like externally validated and outward that we never had a chance to sit with ourselves. And I think that we saw a heightened depression because when that was all taken away, all we were left with was ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for someone like me, that opened up my world. But for most people, it closed their world.
Yeah.
I think too, when we think of depression, sometimes I think there's an easy jump to suicide. And mm-hmm. while, yes, you know, reoccurring thoughts of death or suicide is on the severe end of DSM diagnosing, there is, to me, also a very real everyday, it's almost like the chronic aspect of chronic, you know, just like that repeat. And then, you know, there's change in appetites and there's loss of sleep. And those are all things, right, that could also help you get out of it.
Right.
So, you know, I know for me, one of the reasons that depression and my flare-ups are so intermingled is because I lose my routine. And the second I lose my routines, that's when I go down this like very slippery spiral. And, you know, you keep pushing. But I did. I literally, in my house, I was like, I am so empty right now. Like, why is this happening? Nothing is happening. I think that's the hard part too, right? Is like, mm-hmm. doesn't always have to be something bad happens or something.
Yeah, there doesn't have to always be a reason.
Yes. And, you know, that chemical imbalance, I think sometimes is really misunderstood. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we understand, I think, more depressive episodes, right? Your kid gets like chronically diagnosed with something or a tragedy, a trauma, right? We understand that.
Yeah, but, they like, make more sense.
Yes, out of the blue, just again. And for me, it doesn't feel sadness. Sometimes I wish it did feel like sadness and I could, I think, easier pinpoint that.
Right, right.
But, for me, that emptiness doesn't feel like an emotion, and it's harder for me to identify.
Right.
And I'm on so many medications, I can't always look for like the loss of appetite or the loss of like interest in activity. Because let me tell you, the last thing I wanted to do is come on here and record this podcast today.
Right.
It was down there with, you know, yeah. I don't know, the worst of the things, you know, feelings of worthlessness too, I think is an interesting one, especially being a woman. I think I struggle with my worth all the time. It's a constant telling myself I'm enough. So sometimes I think the indicators that we have aren't always the easiest ones to help us like navigate that.
Right.
And then I think too, medication. I think one of the most fascinating things about being a therapist is having so many people come to me and seeing how they want to try to work things out. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes you try and you try and you try. And I never bring up medication unless, one, I can diagnose and I can refer so that someone can get medication from like a PCP or a psychiatrist, but I can't prescribe medication. And so for me, it's never the first thing that I kind of bring up because it doesn't feel like a solution I can actually help with. But, you know, when you're sitting there and you're doing CBT or, you know, you're doing these modalities week after week and you're trying to get out of the hole and it just feels like you're not able to do it, you know, sometimes I tell them, you've been putting the work in. It should be a little easier. I think you should explore this, you know, and that always gets an interesting response depending on where people are in their journey. Because again, you know, one of the big things is like, do I have to be on this for life? Do I have to like, what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And it's so true. You know, I think it opens up this scary realm of, is this forever?
Right. And it's hard because I mean, I'm on the other side of it in terms of like medicating and stuff like that. You know, obviously that's up to people and what they want to do. I am more on the holistic ends of things. And there are holistic means to try and help mental health and stuff like that. But I think it's not really mainstream right now. And I think that's difficult for people to look into that side of things, because a lot of times, right, you do, like you said, want to get to the root cause of why you are depressed. And when you're looking at root causes, not even just like trauma and stuff like that, there is other parts of your body that could be affected. So it's interesting because sometimes you can give someone a prescription medication for depression and it could make them worse, or it could not be enough, or, you know, you got to not have it with something else. Or so it is a lot. And it's, I think it's difficult to try and figure out the best way to go for your unique individual situation.
Well, and you know, it's interesting that you say that, because the number one thing of all these antidepressants usually is increased risk of suicide within the first 2 weeks of taking it, which is great, right? Which when you think about just the basics of giving someone who's already in that state, that seems like a huge risk, you know?
Right, yeah.
But, you know, to your point, I also think sometimes we want a quick fix, you know?
Yes.
And I think a lot of, you know, medication, I think the craziest thing is medication, at least in my experience professionally and taking it, it isn't going to, the opposite of depression is not happiness. It's
right.
Just not. It's baseline, right? It's like, we're talking 10% better. So just as little as it took how you started to feel that way is as
right.
little as all of a sudden you're just, one day will just be a little easier, you know? And mm-hmm. it's not, again, the weight of the world can feel on you and you would think that you would feel that weight lift,
right.
But it feels so subtle that sometimes it's even hard to know, is this medication working, until I stop taking it. And
right.
because I think that, oh, like it's not, you know, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I'm regulated, whatever have you. And then I stop taking it. And about 2 weeks later, I'm like, okay, it's not the worst of the worst, but like, it's not, I can feel that 10% no longer
right.
like there.
That difference.
And, you know, that's where like the therapy, they're like the thought repatterning. I'm constantly telling people that it's an everyday battle, me versus my internal world, like period.
Yeah.
And who's going to win that day? I'm never sure.
Right.
Trying to do the right thing when you're tired, walk when you don't feel like walking, you know, like all the things like mm-hmm. that walking pad was the best thing I think I've done for my depression was, you know, to keep my body moving because I didn't
yeah.
like how much is stored in your body. So I think it's just, I guess it still amazes me that like in 2024, we still really do struggle, though, having these open conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're someone who doesn't experience it. I'm someone
yeah.
who that I don't know if I would have ever identified it as, but, you know, kind of narrowed all the things. It's really all I could be. So.
Yeah. I think the conversations can be had, like we're doing right now, if you don't have expectations. And what I mean by that is I remember speaking to someone about depression. They were experiencing it or felt like they were experiencing it. I, however, was seeing a completely different side of this person, right? I was seeing a person that was depressed in only certain situations. And these situations were situations that limited this person's ability to do things. This person could spend hours on hours on hours getting ready to go out on the town and have fun and do all this stuff. But then when it would come to doing things for their family or having things to be done, that's when they would say they're struggling. And then they wanted my opinion on it. And I'm like, I'm not the expert. From my view of someone that has never experienced it, it's clearly something is going on, but I don't necessarily think that it's that. So, and that person got frustrated with me. But again, I'm not someone that deals with it. So I think that you can have conversations like this as long as you both know we can experience the same things or you might not be able to fully understand, and then just have an open, just don't have an expectation that I'm going to agree with you or that I'm going to be like, yes, that's definitely what you have. Because that's just not my area of expertise. You know what I mean?
I think people want to feel validated, and that's like the struggle, you know, is like, you want to feel validated by people around you and feel seen. And I think that's part of the problem, you know, is like if someone doesn't know all the factors or whatever, it can be frustrating and it can mm-hmm. feel invalidating, but that's not what you're trying to do. It's
right.
just, that's the way that you see it, you know? And I think we've always done a really good job of being on sometimes opposite sides of the issue and being like, mm-hmm. okay, I'm going to hear you out. I might not walk away changing.
Agreeing with you or whatever.
Yeah,
right.
But like I have enough respect for you. I care enough about you to want to hear at least what you have to say about the topic. And I think like we've lost that ability to really try to dive into that. Mm-hmm. I think, again, COVID put everyone in the same position where like we use depression, but the amount of people who were like truly going through depression in COVID and the amount of people who maybe it was difficult or lonely, like there was a difference there, but there was this like very common shared experience that we don't always usually get, right? Mm-hmm. A country doesn't always shut down or, you know, give people this, but like you said, I think it's your trauma. It's the way you process. It's honest, quite literally chemical imbalances, you know, and all of that. Leading into also stress management, you know, like I know that I'm someone who gets super, super overwhelmed, especially around not feeling like meeting expectation or something of that nature. And having to manage that stress is a huge part of managing my depression.
Right.
Also, managing my OCD is a huge part of managing my depression. You know, when I start to feel obsessive thoughts, again, this is why the organization one always makes me laugh, because you know, it's like cute when it's like, oh, my OCD looks like this. But the difference is I can't move from like the bottom. I'm not going to say it. Drawer of my drawer.
She's saying drawer. She's saying drawer.
That's what I mean. But I will get stuck for hours because it becomes an obsession. And then that a compulsion comes from the obsession. And I cannot. It's not, oh, this is cuter. This is like, I like being this organized like freak. It's the difference between, yes, I like it because it's. Really, if I didn't like it, I really have a choice. But, you know, like, you know, Carrie will always say, I will go for aesthetics over function. And I will every time. It's a matter of I will obsess over the way something looks in my fridge if it's because it doesn't all look the same or it's not all facing. And that's a hindrance in my life. It's fun and all when you're looking at, you know, it's become trendy on like, you know, TikTok and stuff to have like these or like restock of clocks. But I've been doing this like, I mean, but for as long as I can remember, my sister and I, we wanted to share a room when we were both out of the house, but it was the transition period in college. And so it's, you were living at home, but you were not living at home kind of thing. Right. And so we like had this great idea to live together. She literally moved upstairs to the smallest bedroom of the house because I was folding her underwear because I just like couldn't open her drawers and like look at them. Like, and she's like, I just can't. I can't live with someone who's like, I was like, well, you don't have to do it. Like, it's not affecting you. And she's like, I can't. But like, and like, this was like a serious thing. Like, and to this day, like I fold them a very specific way.
That is so funny.
And like all tucked in nicely, like in like, again, in the most ridiculous way possible. But it's just, it's the only way to like, I can function, you know, but much like depression, like I thought that, you know, because I didn't count how many times I did something that was an OCD. So it took me a really long time. Even as a clinician to be like, oh, wow. When I remember like when I was getting TSM, which like I called it one flew over the cuckoo's nest like type of thing, but it wasn't. But to me, it still feels like it was. But like, I would put all these things on your head and like essentially like hit certain spots of your brain to try to like
rewire it.
Yes, essentially. Obviously not as crazy as one flew over the cuckoo's nest, but that's what it felt like. It was like very, like now it's kind of common. I've seen ads all over the internet for it. But when I was getting it done in 2020, it was like very new. And I was like, sure, mom, put me in one. Yeah, I get it. But it was through that process. Did we find that like the root of my depression was actually OCD. And so they actually didn't know if it was going to help me, but just having the right diagnosis and therefore the like, shift in medications, even under the same umbrella, was so helpful.
It matters. It definitely matters.
It does. And I think that just us having this conversation in general starts to hopefully allow us like check in with ourselves, not be afraid to ask for help or seek professional treatment. You know, you're not alone and there's nothing wrong with you. You know, it's okay to need a little help out of the dark, even if like, you know, your best friend doesn't need that same help.
Right. 100%.
So anything else on this, CC? What do you think?
I think just for people that are struggling, if you don't feel like you have people around you, like go on, I don't know, like if there's groups or you would probably know more, Christine, about that kind of stuff. But I think if you're struggling just to at least voice it to someone so you're not struggling alone.
You don't have to struggle in silence. There's places like Cabana.
Right.
That are here to help. And again, there's 17.3 million American adults who are going through this at any given time. The numbers are in your favor that somebody's kind of experiencing this, but also suffering in silence alone.
Right.
So, you know, that's it for this episode of You're Always Fine. Join us next time as we explore another taboo topic. If you enjoy the show, please leave us a review. We love hearing from you guys. And until next time, mind your health. Seriously, you're fine. You're fine because you have the power to access your place of peace anytime you need it. However, if you get stuck, we're right at the palm of your hand to help. Check out our show notes for this week's source list, recommended content, and Cabana live group schedule. We'll catch you next week for a brand new episode of You're Always Fine.
The team at Cabana has found your reset button. The answer? Cabana Pods. Acoustic, soundproof booths with immersive micro vacations proven to boost your mood in just 5 minutes. To learn more about Cabana Pods, visit www.evenhealth.com/pods.